Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day.
Thank you. Would you just raise your hands towards heaven? Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Oh, that you are the King above all kings, the Lord of all lords, and we worship you in your holy name today. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. We ask you right now to fall upon every life that's in this room, everyone watching online, every child, every teacher downstairs, God, that your tangible presence would be in this place. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word, Lord, that has stood the test of time, that when we speak it, all of earth obeys it, every angel obeys it, every demon has to obey it, every circumstance has to obey it, every diagnosis has to obey it, every tumor has to obey it. Lord, we lift your name on high today, and we thank you that it is the only name that saves, and it does not need any help. It does it on its own, and we worship your wonderful, glorious, majestic name, God, and we thank you, Lord, that you are in this place. We put a demand on your anointing today, God. We put a demand on your word today, and we call it forth, and we thank you, Lord, that this day will be a certain day. Lord, like you speak all in the Bible, that people didn't even know it, but they were entering upon a certain day, and I call it to be so. In Jesus' mighty name, we welcome your presence. Lord, for every heart, I thank you today. A spirit of lightness, of gladness, of joy is about to pour over them. Oh, like a warm oil over their head, God. I thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Lord, we worship you today. We thank you for your word. We're ready to hear it. It's going to fall on good soil. And Holy Spirit, we give you full charge over today. Change, rearrange, get rid of the message if you want. We want you to have your way, God. Holy Spirit, speak to us, minister to us, change, rearrange, build. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a good day. Go ahead and be seated. Cassidy wasn't sure, but yeah, go ahead. You be seated. She was like, is it time? It is time. You feel free. I'm going to be quite honest with you. I've got a lot prepared and no clue what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So I'm going to listen, and boy, do I have notes, and the media department knows that, okay? But, yeah, God bless you up there. Is that Jessica I see? Hi, we love you. Thank you. I'm going to do my best today, but there's no pressure on you to keep up because I don't know where we're going. So we love you, and good luck. Okay, just kidding. We're going to have a good day. Get your Bibles. 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 Do you have it? Do you have it? Do you have it? I see him. I see him. Wave him a little higher. There it is. Proud. Okay. Go with me to Zechariah. Zechariah. Chapter 4. Let's see what's going to happen. Okay. Verse 1, it says, and the angel who talked with me came again and awakened me like a man who is wakened out of his sleep and said to me, what do you see? What did we say last time? You. I see you. That's quite the sight. Seeing an angel, good Lord. That'll stop you. That'll pause you. That will take your breath away for a moment. It says, what do you see? He said, I said, I see and behold a lampstand all of gold with its bowl for oil on the top of it. And it's seven lamps on it. And there are seven pipes to each of those seven lamps, which are upon the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side of it, feeding it continuously with oil. So he saw in a vision a candlestick all of gold. And we talked about this a little bit last time, but basically this is a symbol of something pure and prosperous. And so it was a symbol of the state of the church. Praise God. It was, he was talking about you and I, that a prosperous, pure church. It represents wealth. It represents purity. And there's a huge wealth transfer that's about to take place in the kingdom of God, where evildoers that have wealth, it's about to, without their consent, transfer into the hands of kingdom builders and of people who love Jesus and want to build the kingdom of God. There will be a huge transfer. It's written, it's been prophesied, and if Jesus says it will happen, it will happen. The only thing is you and I get to decide how much we want to be a part of it or not. And I'm going to be a part of the whole thing. I'm not going to fumble that ball. And it's not just wealth in the fact of having it. Okay, great. You have wealth. Wonderful. Go buy a car. It's great. But wealth that transforms lives, wealth that brings the message of Christ all around the globe, wealth that you can touch a life of a person you've never met, that type of wealth. Not, oh, wonderful, I have a nice house, I have all the cars I want, now what else could I do with my money? No. Kingdom building wealth. And that transfer has to come into the hands of somebody willing to build the kingdom. And how does God know if he can trust me or not to build the kingdom? By what I'm doing right now to build the kingdom. That's a little like self-inventory. Yowza. Well, how am I building the kingdom now? Because if I think I have not a lot of money now, let's say. There's a lot of money to be had, and I'll say, let's say I don't have a lot right now. And I'm like, I'm not at the place in my life to really build the kingdom. Maybe some of us have found ourselves there today. You're like, I am not in a good financial spot. I'm not in a place where I can do kingdom building big things. Okay. What did God do with the little boy whose mom packed his lunch, who said, I don't really have a lot, but what I do have, you can have it? And how many were fed? Because the little boy said, you know, I don't have a lot, but what I do have, I can build the kingdom with it. I have 5 loaves, 2 fish? I don't have a lot. How many of you would say that's not a lot? Some of you are like, I would eat that plus 3, you know, for lunch or something. You're like, that's not a lot. And this little boy was like, I don't have kingdom building money. I can't send millions of dollars to this organization that's helping kids and this. I don't have that kind of money. I can't pay for a new church building. I don't have that kind of money. And what did God do with a little boy who believed that even though he didn't have a lot, he could do something big with it? A lot. They had left over. Who do you think got to bring that food? The disciples? They didn't do anything. Who do you think got that food? The little boy took it to his mom. Because it's not so much the amount that's in your hand. It's the God you're looking at with what's in your hand. Because if you'll look at God, you'll realize that your little, maybe in natural terms, is really just a little. But if it's handed over to him, it can turn into a lot. So if there's this great transfer of wealth, and there is, what determines if that transfer hits my hand? Well, a few things. My harvest is crying. Am I crying for my harvest? Am I assigning angels to go get it for me? And third, am I being faithful with what God has placed in my hand right now? Because he's searching for people he can trust. Which means, does life feel like I have everything I need right now? You know what? I'm not lacking anything, but do I have everything my heart desires? No. But Colin and I have decided that since we first got married, and there were times when this was hard. We first got married when we moved into our apartment. The day we moved in, we got hit with a $12,000 medical bill. That did, by the way, shouldn't have happened, and it didn't even work. And I remember opening it and going, I felt like someone sucker punched me right in the gut. It wasn't Colin. He didn't do it. It was the bill. I was like, oh, ha, whoa, okay. We don't have that to just like, here you go, Methodist. Enjoy. We want you to have this $12,000. Now, we had great counsel in our lives that taught us how to handle stuff like that, and praise the Lord for it. But we didn't have it. And I remember looking at Colin, and it was a deciding factor in our marriage. We looked at each other, and we said, what's the tithe on that? And it took a minute. You know, Mr. Good at Math, this took a minute for us. It was like, I don't want to know. And we figured out the tithe of what that would be if it was given and not taken. And we tithed it. And we never paid that bill. Now, you can say amen, and that's amazing, and wow, look what God did. In that day, in that moment, it did not feel amazing. It did not feel like, whoa, yay, God. It did not feel like, ooh, let's you know, yippee-ki-yay, let's just have a party. No, it was like, how are we going to do this? But it was a deciding factor in our marriage that we, no matter what our finances look like, we will honor God. I don't care what bill we get, we will honor God. And I'm telling you, God will take care of you when you honor him. God's not without supply. I don't give to God because he's lacking money. I give to God because I honor him first. And I'm saying, I'm not giving to you with the leftovers. I'm giving to you with my first. But then outside of tithe, there are moments, and I'm not talking from a place that I haven't done it, because Colin and I did this weekend on Friday. We got a blessing, and it's the exact amount we need for a bill. Pfft, cool. That doesn't feel like much of a blessing, does it? When it's like, you got a blessing, yet that's a great amount to go right there. Not in a fun place. Can I be honest with you today? Is that okay? And I looked at Colin, he looked at me, and we had one of these moments. We said, okay, where are we tithing this to? It's above and beyond. What did we do? Well, phase one of what I'm asking you guys to do, we're going to extend our reach. We're going to make it so that people who are clicking on other videos around the world are clicking on ours and are going to learn about Jesus Christ, that he did come to save, but he also came for the abundant life. I gave for that. Amen. And I don't say that as a pat on the back, because let me tell you, again, it didn't feel fun. But you know exactly what we said? My harvest is coming. My harvest is coming. My harvest is coming. That's pennies to me compared to what God's bringing into my life. There is something when, this isn't in the message, so I figured this would happen. When the Egyptians, they had been in captivity for, what, 400 years? I think I'm correct. Look at Mary Louise. Am I correct? Was that 400 years? 400 years. That's a long time. That's more than a few of, like, lifetimes. That's generational. Okay? And they were slaves. Everything they had ever made, they never got. They were feeble. they were beaten. And God said, over. That time is over. Now, generations, imagine telling your kids, hey, one day it's going to be over. We're going to be free from this place. And you know, great-great-grandpa, you're like, okay, that's nice. But then when it hit their generation, this is how cool God is. He did not just set them free, which in a lifetime of captivity, really all they wanted was relief. They would have been, it would have been a blessing just to walk out and be like, we're done. Don't answer to you anymore. We're done. Oh no. They not only were free, but this is where a lot of us have left it. You've waited for relief and you've never went back and got what's owed you. See, they could have taken the relief and said, that's enough. And God said, no, 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 no. They owe you for everything they've taken from you, and every generation before you is owed to your name. And it wasn't just money, although there was a lot of it. It says, they left not a feeble one among them. And we think, well, finally, the devil's off my back. Instead of going, you owe me. You don't just owe me. You owe me double. It says they got double for their trouble. And not just, it would have been enough if it was just my lifetime. They got all of the generations ahead of them, too. Which means it's really bad news for the enemy, because now that you know that, you have some things to claim. You have some rooms to walk back into and say, excuse me. I didn't realize all the rights that I had at the moment. I do now. There's no time limit, by the way. Thank you, God. There's no time limit for us to get smart. It just happens every once in a while. Here we are today. You don't just owe me for what you took, all that time, all that money, all of that health, all of that joy, all of that whatever. You put yours in there. I don't know. But you owe me double for it. And not only that, I like to really dig my heels in with the devil because I'm especially mad at him today. And go, you also owe me for everything that my dad never got to experience here on earth too. And his dad. Sucks to be you, doesn't it? Because now you know. Say, now I know. Now I know. So the church, we're going to be, it's an exchange of wealth, but there's got to be purity for that wealth. It can't be corrupt. Because if we're not faithful with what we are dealing with now, how can we be faithful when we have the kind they're talking about on the news, the billions, the trillions? If you can't be faithful with your $100,000 income or your $20,000 income, I don't care. Put your number of income there. If you're not faithful with it now, how can God place more in your hand? Say, he can trust me. He can trust me. So in the there's three characteristics of the last day church. Then we're going to go to the new stuff, and I wish I could really, I'm not going to do it all today. So in the next few weeks, just buckle your seats, okay? That rhymed. I'm not even trying today, guys. All right. Okay. Three things. Extremely wealthy. This is the church. You say, this is me. Extremely wealthy, extremely pure, extremely anointed. Huge outpouring of the Holy Spirit all throughout the Bible. That's what happened. That's what the church should be. You know, it is not honoring to God to be broke. I don't know where that teaching came in. And, well, I don't want to spend that, you know, I don't deserve that. You know, Jesus wasn't broke. He was quite wealthy. I really think people think that he was just this broke guy going around on donations. The dude had money. His disciples, how do you think they could take a year off of what they were doing? They were making some money. And they thought, you know what? We will stop, and they could stop, to follow him. Jesus was a carpenter. Don't act like it's honorable. Okay, if you want to be broke, be broke. But don't act like it honors God to do it. I know I see wealthy Christians on, and you know their names. And I hear people say the meanest, crudest, most awful, dishonoring things about them, all because they have some wealth. But do you know those people, and I know some of them personally, are the biggest givers I have ever met in my entire life that do not accept a salary? Watch what you criticize. Because if you criticize it, how can God trust you with it? When you switch places, he's going to remember what you said. And I don't say that to come down on anybody. I say that to prepare you. Prepare yourself for great wealth. Watch what comes out of here. Watch who you judge. Watch what you criticize. Say, stay in your lane. Worry about yourself. I always tell that to my son. Worry about yourself, okay? All right? I told you to get your shoes on. Quit telling me about mine. Worry about yourself. I'll get to it. You find your shoes. That's what's important right now. Side note. Okay. I'm going to talk about something that I'm going to dissect in the following weeks. And so if you feel like I'm really rushing past this today, I am. But I'll get there. Okay? So just be patient. I'll come back to stuff. All right, Psalms 100. Are you there? That was really fast if you are. Woohoo. Have you ever lost something or had something taken from you? Yeah? Like you ever lost a wallet or you lost something or at a hotel and you're like, I know exactly where it was, and they're like, it's not there. And you're like, I could tell you, it's there. They're like, no, it's not. It's not there. We've sent everybody in there. It's not there. I've had that happen to me before. My mom, when that would happen, by the way, just food for thought, would always go, Angels, go get that for me. And she'd find it in her purse or in her closet or in the bottom drawer somewhere. And I'm like, I thought my mom had superpowers growing up because she would speak to tornadoes, they'd go back up. She would speak to washer and dryers, they'd last. She'd speak to find something, all of a sudden, there it is, in her purse or in my pocket. You know, I'm like, I didn't take it. Here you go. Sorry. So, I promise, I don't know how I got here. It wasn't me. Okay. Truly, it was not me. It wasn't. Okay. All right. It says in verse 4, enter with the password, thank you. Make yourself at home, talking praise. Thank him. Worship him. That's one translation. In others, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. I love that God gives us the cheat codes. Anybody else? I love those. He says, enter by saying thank you. What an interesting thought. I really believe the Holy Spirit told me this today. He said, the bigger your thanks, the bigger your harvest. The bigger your praise, the bigger your harvest. Enter with thanksgiving. You can come in cowardly, or like, should I really be here? Do I deserve to be here? Or you can come and thank you, God, that you are my supplier. Thank you that I never lack anything. And you come in not disgraced that you're asking for something. But you come in with thanksgiving. It says, make yourself at home. talking praise. This tells us something about the culture of heaven and how Jesus works. You make yourself at home by praise. Do you know you're never closer to God than when you're praising Him? This is the air that's being breathed in heaven. This is the sound of angels that you don't even see right now. It's the sound of praise. When I put Merritt to sleep, I say, angels, I thank you that you're in this room. And when he goes to sleep, I command you to sing praise while he sleeps. You know, nightmares immediately stopped. I gave him a job. I was like, listen, I'm going to bed. That's what's going to be happening. I will be going to bed. You will be praising while I am sleeping, while he is sleeping, while my husband's sleeping. This house will be filled with praise. They work for you. I figure I might as well give them a 24/7 job since they don't need sleep, they don't get tired, they don't need to eat, they don't need to drink. You know, they live to fulfill the word of God. It brings them pleasure. So I like to do things that make them happy, like tell them, give orders, be bossy in a good way. Okay. Romans 8, 16 through 17 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Most believers really lean into the fact that they join in the suffering. We lean into it. We like to talk about it. It's what we like to ask for prayers for. We like to lean into that suffering. But we fail to realize that our biggest participation in our actual inheritance is the glory. Christ suffered. Payment over. He did it. Even if you wanted to add to it, it's already done. We're heirs in the glory. One of my favorite stories in the New Testament, told by Jesus, is in Luke 18. And it's of a woman who had been wronged by a really wicked judge. She goes to ask for his help, and this judge did not fear God, didn't care what people thought of him. We'd have a lot of people leading countries that are like this. They don't fear God, and they don't care what people think of him. And don't worry about that. God's so much bigger, I'm about to show you. Insignificant details, okay? Luke 18, 3 through 8 says, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, it's another thing for people to know that about you, it's another thing for you to say it about yourself. Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that, men, listen, she won't eventually come and attack me. And then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? God will bring justice for his chosen ones, the ones that are what? Crying out day and night for what? Their harvest. Notice this guy had no choice. Because her cry didn't matter if it hit his ears. It was hitting God's. And God moved him. Whoever you think is in your way, whatever's in your way, it's just spiritual. And God can move it out the way. And he will. She didn't let this guy's yammering or position stop her from crying out to God. She was like, you are insignificant. God's going to do it whether you want it done or not. Number one, I want you to hear this. It's time we step up drawing near to God in our prayer life and going into the courtroom with thanksgiving and praise. Because I have never seen a breakthrough in someone's life that they didn't first say thank you for it. Because when you say thank you for something, it's what? Because you've received it. Someone gives me a gift, I open it, thank you, it's mine, it's in my hand. That's what he's saying. Whatever you need's already in your hand. So you're going in with the posture of thank you. I already have my need. I already have my answer. And it wasn't that the Israelites didn't have just their needs met now. They had overflowing. They couldn't even keep it all. They lost some of it along the way. It was too much to hold. So it's not just God doing and being God for you to have your needs met. That's like having your debt paid off. Great, you're at zero. It's overflowing, overwhelming, can't keep up with it type of blessing. And like the Israelites, some have dealt so hard in suffering. It's like almost captivity for however many years, and you're going, I just would like relief and my needs being met. And of course, that's what the enemy would love. Not that he wants you to have relief, but he doesn't want you to know that you have rights to go make him pay. So don't you stop at relief. When you get relief, go, okay, now it's time to party. I'm going in and I'm getting everything you owe me. And then double it. Have you ever gotten a scoop of ice cream? It's like, you know what? That doesn't look quite sufficient. Would you double that? And then everything that generations before you didn't know that they could have claimed or didn't get it in their lifetime. It was robbed from them. You have a lot to claim. Psalms 34:17, we're almost done, says, is anyone crying for help? Here's the great news. God is listening, ready to rescue you. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Number two, I would tell you, get very bold. Very bold. And what you ask from your Father. Get very bold, and what you talk is already yours. That's your Esther moment. Get very bold. This is the moment you enter the king's courtroom boldly and make your petition known. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace. I love that that's what it is. It's not a throne of judgment, terror, throne of grace. With confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Now I'm going to hit something, and I'm not going to have time to go into all the details. So this is what I was talking about. We will come back to this. I will dissect it for you in the coming weeks. But today, we're going to get a quick version, okay? There is something called Replevin. Some of you are like, what medicine is that? It sounds like, but it's not. It's not. Okay, I promise you. It was a procedure meaning to recover. And this was an old Jewish tradition. And something they could claim if something was stolen from them. We'll get into details as the weeks come. And it's something stolen being restored to the owner. Man, this is so good. I would love to get into the details, and I can. Okay. It's to determine the outcome of the parties involved. So number one, you enter into the courtroom of heaven with your petition. Go with me to Daniel, and I'm going to fly through here. Daniel 7, 9 through 10. Do we have any lawyers in the room? Good. I love you. That was the best. Okay. No, good, because I don't want to offend anybody, but I might. Okay. So I'm so glad we don't have any lawyers in the room. Okay. It says thrones were set in place. Oh, man, that's all you're going to remember today was that. It's worth remembering. And the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. We're going to get into some details over that. Here's one thing. The Bible says that the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. So who's the accuser? The enemy. Who's the brethren? Us. Yes. And in John 10:10, it says that Satan is the thief. He comes to kill, steal, rob, and destroy. And he'll do everything that he can to rob you of your inheritance. Here's the good news. We get to call the devil into the courtroom. He's robbed you way too long. Psalms 109, verse 6 says, set a wicked man over him, let an accuser stand at his right hand. This verse, along with other passages, kind of uses imagery of a courtroom setting. You ever seen one, at least on TV? And it says in the Bible that the Holy Spirit basically is our lawyer. Best one in the business. Not to offend. Best one in the business. And you have one accuser who you know is already full out guilty. Like, guilty, guilty. In Psalms 109, verse 6 through 7, says, appoint someone evil to oppose my enemy. Let an accuser stand at his right hand where he is tried. Let him be found guilty, and may his prayers condemn him. Now, Revelation 12:10, I'm just going to read it quickly. It says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. Here's number three. You have a heavenly attorney. It says that your harvest has been kept back. We've learned this in the previous weeks by fraud. What happens to situations like this? They go to court. And now everything that could be thrown up against you, Jesus paid for. This is the good news. So anything that your accuser would try to put on your name, Jesus paid the debt in full. Are you catching this? And it says the Holy Spirit's our counselor. He's our lawyer, our advocate, our helper. Philippians 4:6 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now remember, in the New Testament, believers have the same rights that the Jews had under the New Covenant. There's no Jew, Greek. We've all got rights, baby. And Christ did it for all of us. In Hebrews 9:10, here's where Rep Levin's going to come in. I'm going to show this to you. Therefore, he's a mediator of a new covenant. Praise the Lord. So that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Since a death has occurred, Christ, that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. So for you and I, in the Old Testament, we see countless examples of Rep Levin. We see in the Jewish tradition, it was the returning of stolen items, or it was that person was not only obligated to return it to you, but they were also obligated to return double for causing you trouble, or if they made any profit from it, they had to repay double the profit. So this wasn't just like a, you have to give it back to me, which I always thought was, there's kids, I always thought was foolish, okay, that it's like, thank you very much for giving me back what I already had and was mine. That, then now my time. Thank you very much for this. I now have what I already did before you came and you took it. But they have to repay double, which means not just what they took from you, but double that. And then if they decided to make any profit while they had it, double that too. And there's one gal who she left her country with her husband's son. She comes back basically not from the land. She happened to make a room for the prophet when he would go through town. He ended up prophesying she'd have a son. That son got heat stroke, rose him from the dead. He's telling the king, and all of a sudden in the line, he goes, that's her. And not only did she wasn't normally from that area, so she had no covering now, no husband. This was not the age we live in. And so not only did he have to, the people that had lived in their land and farmed it 7 years, she got the land back. She got all of what they had already worked, like all the work that they had already done, she didn't have to do. And then they didn't just make those people pay that and double. They didn't just make them pay Rep Levin. This is how good your God is. It was seven times. Seven times what they had made in 7 years. And she did nothing. Nothing but ask God. We're going somewhere. This is a year, I truly believe, of Jubilee. Do you know what that is? The year of Jubilee includes this. Restoration of land. Every 50th year, the year of Jubilee, land that had been sold due to hardship was to be returned to its original family owners. That could mean a lot for some people in this room. Maybe you have not even thought of that. Release of debts and freeing of slaves. Aiming to maintain a more, basically, you it's like there's no hardship for resources. There's like a very long term for it. I'm not going to go into it till a couple weeks. And then it's not only that, but confronting the thief. Now, I don't mean you go have a conversation with Satan. That's stupid. Don't do that. You're not supposed to do that. It means you go to the courtroom and say, hey, this bozo over here took from me. And here's what I lost. Because of him. And last I checked, I'm an heir. And you get the heavenly courtroom to go, I'm sorry, he took what from you? And he goes in there thinking, they're not going to know. They're not going to know. They're not going to know. They're just going to accept the relief, accept the fact that they get to go, and I'm going to quit messing with them. That's it. This is wonderful. Here's the things you get to claim for Replevin and in the courtroom of heaven. Are you ready? Lost opportunities. Misappropriated wealth. Stolen peace. Delayed contracts. Hijacked influence. Hidden resources. Forgotten promises. I'm going to read those again. You get to claim lost opportunities, misappropriated wealth, stolen peace, delayed contracts, hijacked influence, hidden resources, forgotten promises. These are things that have been withheld or delayed or hijacked from either your business, your family, your finances, or your future. And you get to reclaim them with rights in the courtroom of heaven. And I'm going to really talk about this in a few weeks, and angels have a lot to do with this. In Joel 2:25, it says, "The Lord will restore the years the locust has eaten." And there shall be restitution with increase. So it's not just that there will be an exchange of wealth. First, some of you need to make a list. What was taken from me? How much was it? How many years? How many people did this affect? How much joy was lost? How much medication did I have to take? How many businesses didn't go the way they were supposed to or were stalled? How many relationships were affected because of it? I mean, you better get detailed, because as detailed as you'll be is what you'll get back. I'm not leaving anything. You get detailed about it. And you know why you get detailed about it? Because you believe God will repay it. So you don't get detailed about something that you don't believe God will do for you. You're like, that was a nice message, and I hope that that happens to me. No. When you know that you are a child of God with rights, that you are an heir, that you have a harvest yelling for you, your name right now, you're listening to me while your harvest is crying for you. And you realize an enemy with no rights has been keeping it by fraud? Oh, there better be a fire in your belly. It's okay to get angry at stuff like that. Christ gets angry at stuff like that. When something's being robbed from his kids. There was a little kid at the park. My son had this basketball. I'd just gotten it for him, and this little kid ran and took it from him. And it's like a five-year-old little kid. And I was like, whoa, five-year-old kid. That was my kid's basketball. It's not yours. You don't know him. You come and take it from him. Five-year-old kid. I held myself. I was like, assess the situation, Mercedes. That's a five-year-old child. We're going to handle this a little differently. But just know that your father comes with fury when something's stripped from you, robbed from you, taken from you by fraud. And he wants you to know today, it's okay that you, it's like there's some relief. Great, but you better go back and get what's yours. You have control over that. You have control over what you command to come back into your life. You say, angels, I command you to go and get what was stolen from me. I command you to go get my harvest. and get real detailed about it. I love, I was talking to Howard, and he had a general idea of a number. And then you know what's so fun about those? Is that you get to double it. Have you ever doubled fun numbers? For most of us, it's like, no, that's never been fun for me. Doubling numbers is like, the numbers that have been doubled have never been in my favor, is what I've heard from people. Okay, imagine. A number that would overwhelm you to silence you. Like, I can't breathe or speak. I've never seen numbers that large. And then God goes, I'm going to double it. We're talking not being able to speak numbers. I'm talking never be sick another day in your life type of numbers. Not a feeble one among them. We're going to close today. I want you to mark this in your Bibles, to go to Joel and to look at all the things that it says that God will restore. Each of those things means something different. Some of it is things generally from society. Some of it's personal things from things that directly deal with you. Some of it's global, but all of it is something you get to claim. And there's details about those. And we'll go in them, but I want you to start really studying that. And then I want you to go into Zechariah. And that moment that he had with the angel might just really blow your mind for some things. Because did you know you can see those sometimes? In December, I saw one for the very first time. Scared the bits out of me, you guys. I called Merritt about it. I was like, shaking, you know. You know you can see those. Not saying all the time, but you can. You know they work for you. And I'll close with this. Jerry Seville talked about this, how angels, he goes, he had a vision of God that they were just sitting around waiting to be told what to do. And they're like, would you just, because it says they heed to the word of God, and they're just waiting for you to say it. So they're sitting there going, if you just, would you say something from the word of God? Okay, that, can't use that. None of that was from the word of God. All of that was worry. All of that was, okay, great. But give me something I can work with. You say the word of God, it says they heed to it, and it's God's pleasure for you to prosper. That alone will give you a day of something to give your angels to do. God's pleasure is that I prosper. Well, okay, angels, his pleasure is that I prosper. Go make him happy. I think you're going to go bring in the harvest for me. And I don't know what it is for you today. I have some things on a list. Personally, for this church, but I promise you, if you will just believe, just make the choice that you believe God, and then act according to that choice, your life from today to this time next year, you will not recognize yourself. You will not recognize your checkbook. You will not recognize your home. You will not recognize your marriage. You will not recognize your health. You will not recognize the place you call your dwelling, wherever it is you live or wherever it is you work. You will not recognize it. And the thing about the Israelites, they were leaving Egypt. They went from one day to captivity, to 400 years of being stolen from 400 years of being scarce, none of their wages, being beaten, being feeble, being named the worst thing you could think of, beaten down to mentally, physically, all of it. No hope. To the next day, the richest, the most healthy, the most taken care of. See, everything can change in 24 hours. It's all over the Bible. So yes, in a year from now, if you will just act like that, your life will look totally different. But some of you, all it's going to take is a choice today. Some of you, all it's going to take is for you to go, I'm going to sow this seed, whether I shake doing it or not. Some of you, it's going to take a moment where you write a list and you decide, never will that come out of my mouth again. Never will I let those words come out of my mouth again. Never will I talk about debt like that again. Never will I speak about my health like this ever again. Never will I talk about my marriage like that ever again. Never will we speak to each other like that ever again. Never will this be brought up ever again. If you will just make a list of things that you don't want, that you've been saying, and then put a list, switch them. In Jesus' name, my marriage, it's the best it's ever been. It's only getting better every day. We're doing that one flesh confession. Go through that if you need to in your marriage. If it's your health, my health from this point forward is nothing but divine in Jesus' name. My health from this point forward, no doctor can find anything wrong with me because there's not. From this point forward, no tumor exists in my body. From this point forward, I never will deal with depression ever again. From this point forward, and then that's just relief. And go, okay, now I command joy, double, come back. In Jesus' mighty name, I command everything that has been stolen from me financially, not just to be paid back, but now I ask double in Jesus' name. Get a little detailed, get a little audacious, get a little bold about it. And for some of you, it's going to take one moment. You could get a call tomorrow. My dad always talked about, and you can stand to your feet today. My dad always talked about suddenly. It was like his favorite word in the Bible. And the Sunday after he passed, I talked about the God of surprises, the God of the suddenly. And if there was ever a Sunday that I did not want to preach, it was that one. I'll be totally honest with you. If there was ever a day I didn't want to come, it was that one. And I sat right where my mom is. And I said, God, I'm going to get up there. And I've got this much for these people that I love with all my heart. I have this much for them today. But I'm putting a demand on the anointing. And God, I ask for a double portion today. Do you know I've never preached a message like that in my whole life? I have since then. But I have never preached a message like that. And I've been preaching a long time. Not as long as my dad or as my mom, but, it's not like I've been doing it 2 weeks, okay? And I said, God, I put a demand on that anointing, and I want payback today. I don't just want relief of that you helped me get through this message. I want to cause some bruises of my own. I'm going to walk in, I'm going to take back what was stolen. And at that point, what was stolen was my father. I want you to grasp that. I wasn't saying 10,000 bucks was stolen from me. No, my father. And I said, but I'm I'm going to give you this message. And if you don't come, I'm wasting everyone's time. But you see, years ago, when a big bill came to my house, Colin and I had looked at each other and said, what's the tithe on that? And in a big moment, little moments added up. Little moments where I said, God, you'll come through. You did it then. This is the biggest moment maybe of my, what felt like of my life. It wasn't. Felt like it. I felt like everything had come to this intersection. Have you ever felt that way before? My whole life has come to this intersection. And you can put a demand. And I remember going, the pressure's not on me, it's on you. And I'm telling you today, take the pressure off of you and put it on God. Pressure off you, put it on God. Not just pressure off of you. Jubilee on you. That it is not just a year of like, pressure's off. Have you ever felt that? Like a weight just off. But it's the year of Jubilee on you. It's the year where you get to, what were those things? Shall we say them again? Where you get to reclaim lost opportunities. You get to reclaim misappropriated wealth. You get to claim stolen peace. You get to claim delayed contracts. You get to claim hijacked influence. You get to claim hidden resources. You get to claim forgotten promises. The Lord will restore. And if you believe it today, would you say, and it's happening to me. It's happening to me. It's happening to me. My harvest is on its way to me. I command my harvest to come into my hands. I command it to come into my hands. As my inheritance as a believer, I command my harvest into my hands and double for every ounce of trouble. And I thank you, God, that I have been given angels that work for me. And right now, I send them to my harvest and I command them to pick it up and to bring it back to me speedily, quickly. And I rebuke the spirit of delay. And I thank you that angels of suddenlies are on the move to my harvest. And by this time tomorrow, everything will be different. In the spirit, the harvest will be in my hands. And in the natural, it's going to manifest. And it's going to manifest so much that I'm overwhelmed by it, a little unnerved by it, a little shocked by it. But by God's grace, I'll handle it just fine. Thank you, Jesus. Now, would you give him a shout like you just walked in and said, thank you, God. Come on, how do we enter? Thank you. How do we enter? Thank you, God. How do we enter? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Some of you, you know your harvest right now is like, aha. The time is clicking. The time is clicking. And what I love is that all of the enemy has just gotten really nervous because they can see it. They see your harvest moving. They see angels grabbing it. And they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait, I have no rights. And your angels, I love. I think mine are a little sarcastic and have a little toot because I would like mine to, give a little signal as they walk out. I'm not going to do that signal, but I really hope mine do to the enemy. Like that one, yeah. In your face. She claimed it and you can't do anything about it. Now tomorrow, when you wake up and you don't feel necessarily how you feel right now, what are you going to do? Thank you, Jesus, for my harvest. Thank you that angels are bringing it to me right now. Maybe I don't see it. Maybe it's not physically in my hand, but 24 hours isn't over yet. So you don't get discouraged. You get to claim reprovent. But even above that, you get to claim Jubilee. It's your year. It's this church's year. And for some of you, if it's a financial thing that you need, I would ask God, what do I give? What do I give? What do I give? Because you never know when the next time you cry out and obey God is the next time that something touches your hand. Never stop giving. Never stop giving. It's the first thing the enemy wants you to do. You're going through financial stuff, stop giving. No, 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 no. When we go through financial things, we give more. And I'm not telling you what to do. I'm saying we, me and my husband, that's what we do. Now, I, a man with a experience can never be at the mercy of a man with a theory. Yeah. So you can tell me all day long, that don't work. Mm-hmm. Tried it once, don't work. I'm a living, breathing example that it works. Come at me. I will debate you all day long with experience. I have seen God do it too many times for me to believe that he doesn't. Can we give glory to God one more time? Jesus, we worship you. Oh, we worship you. And I'm going to ask a favor now. We're going to go out and do the flag raising ceremony, and I really hope you stay. Let's honor. Bible says anytime we can honor, we should. So let's do that. But I'm going to ask you, this is something for your personal lives, okay? Get personal with this. But this is something as a church, I'm asking you to help me claim the harvest for this church. In souls, in finances. And I really believe this phase one of what we're doing with social media, it's not just because we want a great social media. I want to reach people for Jesus. I want people to know him. I want people to be set free. I want people to come into this room and not even make it through worship because they've been delivered and set free and they had a meeting with Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you, help me claim that harvest. I'll do it by myself if I need to, but I'm asking your help. Claim it. It's amazing when you claim something globally. Imagine like we're crying for our harvest and that's enough. But just imagine the sound of all of us crying. Man, I was going to say that will really get the enemy's panties in a twist, but we're going to call it a good service now. Amen. Okay. 10 minutes at noon, okay? Noon, we're going to be at the poll. So grab your kids. And what? Is it not? Is my clock wrong? Okay. That really made me nervous. I was like, is it not 11:47? Did I not know? Okay. At noon. Say noon. Noon. All right. Go grab your kids. I love you. And we'll see you next week.
Yes. Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com, and we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.